This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Is America becoming an antichrist nation, asks one columnist? Well, the answer to that is yes, in a very significant way. And one of the reasons why is that we are trying to tear down all borders. God ordained borders. No, we're not just talking about borders between our nation and other nations, although that would be included, but we're talking about all God ordained borders. You say, what could that possibly mean? Well, we're going to talk about that in the first half of the program here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you have joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. The poet Robert Frost once wrote these words, "Something there is that doesn't love a wall." Something there is that doesn't love a wall. Now, what does that mean? Well, in reality, what he's really testifying to is humankind doesn't want any restrictions. The nature of humankind is, I want to do what I want, wherever I want, to whomever I want, for whatever reason I want, and I don't want any restraints, I don't want any law, I don't want any borders to my life. Something there is that doesn't love a wall. That's true. But is there anything positive about not having walls? Well, one writer says that he asks the question, what has a national border ever done to make your life better? Getting rid of national borders, he said, would go a long way toward easing global inequity. Is there any single good reason to have sovereign nation states and their attendant disputable borders? I honestly can't think of a single downside, he writes. But then others wrote in response. For instance, you also want to get rid of all national governments because of the bad things you've listed, but what are you replacing them with? Is this the new global government going to be better than national government? You see where it all heads. Ultimately, there is going to be a border somewhere. It may not be the borders that are drawn by God. It may not be the borders that are drawn in order to preserve and protect against lawlessness, but ultimately there will be a border. And the movement of humankind today is an international border called globalism. That's where it's all headed, and that's the reason, the underlying reason why there is such an effort to tear down America's borders and everything within our borders, including families, businesses, sexes, property ownership, laws. In fact, what we are actually creating is a borderless bedlam. Borderless bedlam. But borders are here to preserve order. God ordained borders. In fact, if we go back to the very beginning, God had to move Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden and established a border by putting a flaming angel in front of them so that they could not re-enter the Garden of Eden because of the danger that it would present to them and the whole history of mankind if they were to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, no, we're not going to allow that. And we're not going to allow you to eat of the tree of life now that you have eaten of the knowledge of tree of good and evil, because then the evil will be eternalized. No, we're not going to allow that. God established a border. Then when the fellow by the name of Abraham came along, he established a border. In fact, he gave the meets and bounds, the borders of the nation of Israel that he was in the process of creating through the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Ishmael, but Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave those borders that would go from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over to the Euphrates River and from Lebanon all the way down to Egypt. Those were the borders of Israel that God ordained. And before that, you see, there was a fellow by the name of Noah. And God had looked over the earth, and it was horrible in terms of its immorality. And violence was everywhere. So God said, enough is enough. And he ordered a flood, had Noah build an ark for 100+ years. And then after they got off of the ark, after the water had receded from the earth, God told Noah of the nations that he was forming. God ordered and formed the nations and their borders. Why did he do that? You see, we always need to answer the question, why? Why did God do that? Well, we find out one reason why is in Genesis chapter 11, where the peoples, even after God said, no, I want you to have all of these nations, that's where I want you to live. I don't want you to be without borders. I want you to be in these various nations. I planted you there. But the people decided, no, I don't want that. We want to be like what Robert Frost said. Something is that doesn't love a wall. We don't want to be separated. We want to join together. So they built the Tower of Babel. God says, not so fast. No, that's not what I have in mind. I want borders. I want your nations. I do not want you to glom together in humanity trying to play like God and save himself. No, I want you to have borders and nation states. Ever since then, and throughout history, one after the other, various rulers, monarchs, dictators have sought to build a new world order. They've sought to get rid of the borders and amalgamate other people's borders into their borders to create a one world order, whether it be by the Persians, by the Babylonians, by Charlemagne and his so-called Holy Roman Empire, whether it was the Greek leader who Alexander the Great, who came in and virtually controlled the earth, creating a new world order of his kind, eliminating all of the various laws, all the divisions, and absorbing them to create a new Alexander the Great despotic world order. That's where things are heading, my friends. But before we go deeper into all of that, we need to see some of the breakdown of how laws and borders affect the rest of our lives. It's not just about nation states. It's about families. Families are actual borders. My family is not your family. Your family is not my family. And so the families are separated. Can the families work together? Yes, but they have borders. They have cultures. They have restrictions. Cultures are a form of border. Property ownership is a form of border. Businesses are a form of border. Oh, and that's not all. There's much more. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Borderless bedlam. Why borders preserve order? And that's why God ordained them. Today on Viewpoint, in the first section of the program here, to the bottom of the hour, we prepare the foundation in a broader look from God's viewpoint concerning borders. In the second half of the program, we're going to be joined by a special guest with his book, Terrorists on the Border and in Our Own Country. talking about the border issues in our country and how they are affecting, contravening even what God ordained for borders, and why even the current administration would want to tear down those borders. What's going on? Well, we're going to get an insight as to what's going on when we take a look at the various areas in which our lives are governed by borders. And without the governance of borders, we would be in deep trouble. The common phrase is that we are a nation of laws and not men. Really? We have the phrase law and order. Why do we have the phrase law and order? Because laws are effectual borders to govern the way we live and conduct ourselves with regard to one another. Law is the politics of order, or the result of the politics of order. Without law, you have no order, and every man does that which is right in his own eyes, just as was described in the Old Testament when the people were not submitted to God and were not submitted to a king, and therefore every man did right what was right in his own eyes. No borders, no laws. In our country, we say we're a nation of laws and not of men. But as our laws have been disrespected because we have not honored the borders that they set up, more and more laws have been passed in order to try to govern the lawless. Our nation is becoming increasingly lawless. But why? Because we are resisting God's ordained borders. Not just the border between us and Mexico or Canada or other nations, but the whole concept that God has ordained for borders to guide and protect men's lives. Nation states are one of those. God ordained nation states. He did not want, as we've already pointed out, he did not want the people to glom together in one great global unity system. You might think, well, doesn't God want unity? Yes, but he wants unity on his terms, not on man's terms. What kind of unity does God want on his terms? Unity in the blood of Christ. One blood in Christ. Not one blood out of Christ. One blood out of Christ creates chaos and ultimately violence. One blood in Christ creates peace, harmony, and unity. Our various church fellowships and so on are a kind of border. Has God ordained every single one of them? No, I don't believe so, because many of them were formed because they didn't like the other borders that God had established. For instance, when a million people just in Africa, part of the United Methodist Church just pulled out of the United Methodist Church this week because of the homosexual issue, what they were fighting against is the rest of the Western world violating God's sexual order. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to preserve God's sexual boundaries and order. So in reality, the sexes themselves are a God-ordained boundary. So what are we doing with the sexes? Take a look at what is really happening. You may not have seen it this way. You may not have looked at it this way. But what's really happening with regard to the Western world and America regarding the matter of sex and the sexes is we're trying to defy God's sexual boundaries. God ordained male and female. He created male and female created he them. He also created marriage. Marriage was to become a kind of boundary, a unifying boundary where a husband and a wife under the banner of the Holy Spirit would be one together in Christ. That was the idea. What have we done with that idea? Well, it used to predominate in our country until the last 50 years, when in 1968 we began to inaugurate a breaking down of that boundary through no-fault divorce, which Ronald Reagan said, as governor of California then, it was the worst thing he ever did to inaugurate no-fault divorce. What did it do? It began to break down the boundary that God had set in our land and in the world, in all of humankind, to preserve his plan, his purpose, and his glory. We defied it. What happened next? Well, once divorce became normative in the early 1970s, it spread like wildfire, even through our churches. And then, when that broke down, another barrier that God had set up broke down as well, and that was remarriage, when your spouse was still living, even after divorce. God said, no, you're not going to do that. That's adultery. But we said, no, we're going to make a new boundary. We're going to say, no, that is okay. So pastors and parachurch leaders and government leaders and so on began to inaugurate a whole new set of boundaries contrary to God's boundary. And as if that was not enough, breaking down those two boundaries, divorce and then remarriage, inaugurating and blessing adultery, then came the homosexual movement in the 1980s. Well, they looked at the breaking down of the boundary that had been set up by God through his word, and in the words of Jesus himself, whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. So they looked at that, and they said, look, you guys obviously don't believe that's a legitimate boundary anymore. Things have changed. You're going to do something different. So are we. We're going to have homosexual unions. We're going to have practice homosexuality. So gradually that barrier began to break down in the culture, and then came homosexual marriage. You see, with every increment, the boundaries were changed. The boundaries were broken up because the people who were not under God decided there's something about this. We don't love a wall. We want to do what we want to do. And then came transgenderism. And on the heels of that, pederasty and bestiality is coming down the road. All of these things, you see, are the result of breaking, disrespecting, or dissing God's borders. Well, what has that affected now? Take a look at sports. Even as late as the last 2 weeks, a respected and highly revered National Football League player got in heaps of trouble with the culture and has been mocked and demeaned because he had the temerity to echo God's standards and boundaries for our culture. It was the culture that was awry, not the NFL player. He was holding on to the boundaries of righteousness and holiness under God. The rest of the culture glommed on and said, no, we will not have those boundaries anymore. We don't love that wall. We're going to do away with it. So, what's happened to our sports? We used to have sports, female sports and male sports. It was well understood, recognized that there was a fundamental difference between male and female. God knew that. He created us different. But we decided we don't like that wall either. We don't like that border either. And so we decided to break that down and look at the chaos that is resulting. It's also echoing into our prisons. So transgender men are being put in women's prisons, and the result is what? Rape, more chaos, more violence, all while we continue to break down our borders. Borderless bedlam. In Israel, you may recall, the Torah says one law for Israel and for the sojourners combined. Not two laws, one law. Order. God ordered the nation states and divided them. Man sought to defy nationhood and built the Tower of Babel. Globalism is anti-border and anti-God and therefore is anti-Christ. Breaking down borders creates lawlessness and demands, listen to this, demands the ultimate global salvation from chaos by the lawless one who is on his way. All who resist, then, are deemed terrorists or enemies of world peace and must be cast out of the society. In other words, ultimately, anyone who deems to hold to God's borders will be deemed an enemy of world peace. Only those who buy into the new godless border breakdown, the hatred of borders, they're the ones that are going to amalgamate into a one world global order. Is it any wonder then that John Kerry, Joe Biden's czar for environmentalism, declared when Joe Biden was inaugurated that he was the one who was set to launch the world into its final stage of the Great Reset toward a new global world order. A global world order defying the plan, the purpose, and the order of God in order that humankind could raise up his fist in defiance of God's borders and order. That's where it's all heading. If you don't have a copy of my book, Antichrist, you really ought to get it. Also the book, Messiah. They kind of go hand in hand. They're both $22 books. I believe on our website, they're $18 a piece. Go to the website, whatever it says, that's what they are. And they're significant books, and they will help you to understand where we really are, where the world really is. It's not just about America's border, although we're going to focus on that in the second half of the program. It's not just about America's border. It's about world order and God's plan and purposes for our country and for the world. If we decide, like ancient Israel, to do it our own way and repudiate God's way, guess what happened to the 10 northern tribes when they did that? They cast away God's borders, and God raised up the Assyrians under Sennacherib to come in and take them captive and disperse the 10 northern tribes throughout the earth in order to protect his order. And then, 135 years later, Judah and Benjamin found themselves in a very similar predicament. They were not obeying God's order and his borders, and God said, okay, you're going to Babylon for 70 years. And let's see what happens then. And ultimately, by 70 AD, God had to bring in the Romans to do the final job, because Israel still, then known as Judah, or the Jews, still refused to protect and preserve God's order and borders. But God said, you know what? I'm going to discipline you for a short time, 2,000 years, and then I'm going to start bringing you back, and I'm going to direct you to reestablish my borders and my order. Guess what? The world is resistant to that. Just look at the current situation. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismier. In this section of the program today, we're going to refocus dealing with the issue of our battle with borders. Our battle with borders here in the United States, and particularly the borders that we think about with regard to the issue of immigration and illegal immigration and so on. Because that also is a major border issue. The problem is not with immigration. The problem is with illegal immigration. The problem is not even just with illegal immigration. It's with the motivation that is fostering and fomenting illegal immigration, which will take us right back to the conclusion in the first half of our program, where we find what the ultimate end is and the true motivation for the breaking down of borders itself. And so it's a delight to be able to join you here on Viewpoint. We're hopefully joined by our special guest, Charles Marino, concerning his book, Terrorists on the Border and in Our Own Country. Charles, do we have you on the line? Apparently not. Not sure why, but he had just called in and then hung up. So we'll see what happens there. In any event, we're talking concerning this matter of America's resources and infrastructure, such as its welfare and systems, housing, hospitals, and so on, that are at risk. Now, I'm going to make an effort here to connect in with our guest, if you'll hold on just a moment. I don't want to miss him if we can avoid it, and there might be a misunderstanding here. This is what happens with live broadcasting when we're doing it without the overlay of expensive aids in the process. All right, here he is coming back. Do I have Charles Marino with me?
You sure do. How are you?
Well, I'm doing weller now, Charles. The two Charleses are uniting, and since you're manly with Charles and I'm manly, that's a coup here on the program, in the second half of our program.
So it would have helped if I had 1988 as the last four of the phone number instead of 1088.
In other words, you're fallible. Wow.
No, I was not the fallible one on this.
Oh, okay. Well, in any event, you're here and I'm here. What you did not know is in the first half of the program, I laid out a very unusual and fascinating look at the whole issue of borders, not talking about our country per se, but talking about God's viewpoint concerning borders. And we called it Borderless Bedlam, Why Borders Preserve Order and What's Happening as we, over the past 50, 60 years in this country and all over the world, have been casting away the borders and order, and look at the chaos it's creating in our world.
That's exactly right. Well said.
All right. Well, thank you. That means two Charleses are on the same page here, and I'm so glad.
We are.
In the first half of the program, we were not focusing primarily on our country, although by implication, it did deal with some issues in our country, like even breaking down the order and the borders concerning the sexes and the echoing consequences of that in the area of sports, in our prisons, and so on. But today, in this segment of the program, we're focusing on our country and the immigration and illegal immigration problem. And tell us a little bit about, because I'm a former trial lawyer, and I never brought a witness, a so-called expert witness, on the stand until I had somehow established their expertise. So tell us why you're qualified to write on this.
Well, I am a 20-year Secret Service agent. I'm also the former senior law enforcement advisor to the Secretary of Homeland Security.
All right.
As you know, the Department of Homeland Security is the largest federal law enforcement agency in the United States.
The Department of Homeland Insecurity, you said?
Well, right now, yeah, it's the Department of Insecurity. When I was there, we still believed in upholding the law and securing the borders.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's sad to see the state of affairs that's going on over there currently, but it'll be fixed.
Well, the interesting thing is that that whole agency would not have been needed if first there had not been a massive breaking down of the God-ordained borders in the world. But as those borders were being broken down by force or threat of force, in came the Department of Homeland Security under George W. Bush, right?
That's right, under the 2002 Homeland Security Act in response to the terrorist attacks of 9/11, as you point out, they created this behemoth of a bureaucratic agency, which I would recommend gets a very fresh look by a new administration next term, because to think that we got that department right in creating it the very first time, and that things should not be changed would be wrong.
Yeah.
So we need to look at the agencies that were pulled in initially, and see how they could be more effective and efficient, and that may include moving them out of the department, need be it.
Now, Charles, you said that you were also a Secret Service agent in the Secret Service Agency. Is it still secret? It appears that it is.
Well, it's discreet. the agency is a discreet agency, dual mission, both investigative and protective. Obviously, they're best known for the protection that they provide to the president.
Right.
And vice president and other dignitaries and other officials within the federal government. But also they do a lot of work on the investigative side, still with their foundation of counterfeit currency, which is originally why they were founded in 1865. But they do a lot of financial crimes and cyber investigations.
All right. Well, I hope they're not doing the financial crimes. I hope they're investigating them.
They are investigating.
We don't necessarily know for sure. It's so secretive sometimes. Look, as I looked at your book and as I considered this whole issue of borders, on this program, I always ask the why question. It seems like we're always bombarded with information, so-called facts or distorted facts, information, but very seldom do we deal with the motivations behind the information. And it seems to me that that's where our real problem is. Our real problem is not whether or not we want immigrants, but why we want immigrants and why we want to lay off restrictions on immigrants and call illegals that haven't passed through the legal system legitimate. Why would we want to do that?
Right. Well, first I would say we always want immigration, but we want immigration controlled through a process, right? We don't want illegal immigration to occur in the country for a whole host of national security and humanitarian.
Right. Just like we want sex, but we don't want uncontrolled and promiscuous sex.
Right. So
there are certain boundaries there.
Right. So So what I would say is there's a couple of whys this happened. And so what I could tell you is on the front end, and there's a reason why the Biden administration is referred to correctly so as being unprecedented in the crisis that they caused. Mm-hmm. I think on the front end, prior to coming to the White House, I think they made a lot of promises to be soft on immigration to the immigration advocacy groups.
But why?
And that is true. Well, that'll take us to the second why.
All right.
But I'm still focused on the first why. So, and that is true because there are a lot of people representative of those immigration advocacy groups that are mm-hmm. now serving within places like the Department of Homeland Security, Health and Human Services.
And the State Department.
And the State Department implementing the very policies that created this crisis.
Exactly.
Okay, so that answers the first why. Now the second why. The second why now takes us to the after the fact. What could they gain? What could Democrats gain for allowing this to happen? And that is very simply put in one word, vote. The vote. Now two words, the vote, because you can see it already underway. You can see it based on the actions in Congress last week when it came down to a vote on the District of Columbia mm-hmm. who wanted to allow illegal immigrants to vote in elections.
Right.
Republicans all voted against that. Democrats all voted, guess what?
In favor
of it. Okay, so that starts to tell the story very clearly. Then you see the issuance of work permits. You see the request for driver's licenses. You see the Department of Homeland Security considering the issuance of a federal non-citizen ID.
Mm-hmm.
And this all sets us up very nicely for documentation to do what? To vote.
True.
Now, even if this gets shot down by Republicans, where they say absolutely no way, which they should, we still have a very big problem. We still have close to 15 million people in the country illegally that could cause a significant problem with voting should they choose to circumvent the system and vote illegally.
Well, there already are states that have inaugurated authorization of voting for illegal immigrants, aren't there?
You will start to see, yes, it will start with the sanctuary cities like it always does, and it may spread to some purple areas. But it will likely be limited and contained to the sanctuary cities. So this is all problematic. We also see language changes in the census, uh-huh. no longer a U.S. citizen, just present in the country. We see it being used for redistricting mm-hmm. for Democrat jurisdictions, right?
Yeah.
And then we see it then spiral out of control.
Well, all of this is the breaking down of borders. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned, Charles. We have much more to talk about. Terrorists on the border and in our country.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Our special guest today, Charles Marino, with his book, Terrorists on the Border and in Our Country. It's a $30 book, yours for $26 on our website today. Go there, 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can call us there, 1-800-SAVE-USA. The website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. In 1995, the very year we started this radio program over 30 years ago, William Jefferson Clinton, commonly known alias Bill Clinton, made this statement. It is a fundamental right and duty for a nation to protect the integrity of its borders and its laws. This administration shall stand firm against illegal immigration and the continued abuse of our immigration laws. By closing the back door to illegal immigration, we will continue to open the front door to legal immigrants. Now, that is an honest and straightforward statement if that was his true intent. That's what the immigration thing is supposed to be about in this country, isn't it, Charles?
That's right. And do you like how we do that in the book? We take you through the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, the Obama administration, Trump, and now to the present. And what we show is that, look, while we may not have always agreed how they went about it, border security and immigration enforcement were always a top priority within all the previous administrations. And we also show how Republicans and Democrat administrations worked with each other as they were handing off. So, for example, George W. Bush had a very successful international program called the Merida Initiative, which made everybody be a part of the solution for Mexico, Northern Triangle, Central America, and on. When President Obama came in office, he said, you know, this Merida Initiative is pretty good. I like it. It's had good results. I think we can expand it and make it even better. And he created the Beyond Merida strategy. We know Trump came in. Trump renegotiated NAFTA to the USMCA agreement. And he used that to get programs like Remain in Mexico. So my point is, this administration presently has no strategy like we've seen in previous administrations.
Well, wait just a minute. Maybe they have a strategy that we're unwilling to admit. I believe they do have a strategy. And their strategy is globalism.
Yeah, well, nobody has seen it, and they're smart enough not to put it down on paper. But what I can tell you is they certainly don't have a strategy to support our national and homeland security as previous presidents have.
Right.
And so, you know, look, even President Obama, you know, I know there's a lot of split positions on him in terms of where he fell on immigration.
Right.
The immigration advocacy groups were no big fan of President Obama. They actually nicknamed him the deporter in chief. Because they thought he threw them under the bus. He was deporting close to 500,000 a year. He was deploying programs like Secure Communities, which basically deputized state and local law enforcement officers to serve as force multipliers on the immigration front. If you committed a crime of any level and you were in the country illegally, you were gone. You were deported. You were immediately handed over to ICE. This is the first administration, I've got to tell you, that has literally thrown their hands up and said, yeah, this border security and immigration stuff, we're just not doing it. We're just not going to enforce.
All right. The question, though, is not what they said or what they're doing, but why they said it and why they're doing it. And that's what I want to focus on here. And we even alluded to that in the first half of the program here today on Viewpoint. It has to do with a historic, even prophetic move of our world to tear down all borders and to restore a pursuit, a final global pursuit of globalism and a one world order. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And they cannot do that unless they completely flood this country with others that have no allegiance to this country and then tear down, which they've been doing for 50, 60 years now, the allegiance of generations of young people to this country, promoting it as something that is wicked, something that is deceitful, something that has been treating people with abuse and so on. And by doing that, what they're doing is setting up the nation with the utmost allegiance ever in world history to submit to a new global order. That's my conviction.
And that's chaos.
That's chaos.
So I'll highlight your point with a ongoing example with this border crisis. Mm-hmm. When the Biden administration came into office, they stood down all of the Trump administration's executive orders to include Remain in Mexico, which they said were inhumane. Right? That's what they said.
Right.
All the policies, Trump's immigration policies, were inhumane to the migrants. Okay. Now, let's look at what's happening under the Biden administration and the point that he has proven. The Biden administration has proven this, that when you remove all semblance of law, order, process, civility, it's actually more dangerous for everybody involved. And we can take the positions of whoever we want here. We can say it's become more dangerous for Americans. The country has become a much more dangerous place. It has become much more dangerous for the illegal migrants who are now enticed to make the dangerous journey, put their lives in the hands of traffickers, continue to be trafficked within the United States because they owe the cartels money typically that they couldn't pay to be trafficked to the United States in the first place. We see it in sex trafficking. We see it in drug deaths with hundreds of thousands of Americans being killed. We see it in child exploitation with a department like Health and Human Services involved in trafficking close to 500,000 minors, with 85,000 in the country currently unaccounted for. And the list goes on and on and on. We could have this conversation for 4 hours.
Yes.
So the Biden administration is, they have shown when you create an environment of anarchy, surprisingly so, guess what you get? Anarchy. and they're embracing it. They're embracing all of these global threats that we're facing as a country. We face more threats from more places at any time in our history.
And the world is looking on and shaking their heads in disbelief that people that are flooding here for freedom are not experiencing that which they thought they were coming here for.
Well, and let's wake up and understand that everybody coming here isn't looking for a better life. They're looking, we're allowing criminal aliens into the country. They're continuing to commit crimes and prey on Americans as these illegal migrants become a greater portion of a population, say like in the city of New York. They just outlined it the other night because they had two officers shot, unfortunately, at the hands of an illegal immigrant who should have never have been here. And we see it on the terrorism side. We see two Jordanian nationals pulling up to the gate at Quantico, trying to breach security at the Marine Corps base there. And the government won't even tell us if these two Jordanian nationals who are here illegally are on the terrorist watch list. So, you know, this administration has the whole system backwards.
Well, but they have a reason for doing it. They have a reason for doing it that nobody wants to talk about openly. And it has to do with establishing a global order. And John Kerry, the Biden's environmental czar, when Biden was inaugurated, John Kerry came out and boldly stated on television that the inauguration of Joe Biden was the, shall we say, the ushering in of the final steps to the global reset and the new world order. That's what he said. That's what this man is doing.
That's what they believe. And you're right. The problem is, look, if that was easy to sell with the American public, then the president wouldn't have stood before a podium today and for solely political purposes, because he's polling so poorly, he wouldn't have announced an executive order that does nothing to secure the border. But he gave it the attaboy today.
Yeah, there you go.
Because he decided he was going to try and nominate himself for an Oscar award with a performance to say that he suddenly awakened and that the country needed to be secured.
So that he could get in and finish the job of diluting the integrity of the United States. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Okay, you say, Charles, you say that if there was the political will to do it, this whole thing could be turned around in 1 week. What do you mean by that?
Well, I got to tell you, you need somebody that's going to, the first second they get in office, they need to go down the border, tell the men and women of Customs and Border Protection and ICE, there's a new sheriff in town. We're going to start enforcing the laws on the book. They need to start practicing hard diplomacy with Mexico and other countries along the migration path to say, look, we're going to need your help in this. And by the way, if you don't help us, these are going to be the consequences. Diplomacy, the appeasement strategy of this administration with every other country on the face of the earth just doesn't work and doesn't build respect for the United States. So we need to hold people accountable. We need to tell Mexico, you're going to restore, remain in Mexico or else.
Well, do you think that's going to happen with the new president, the female president of Mexico, who is reputed to be a hyper-liberal?
Well, she is. She is. And she's a soldier of President Obrador. So he's going to keep his finger on the button for sure, so to speak. But look, he understands consequences, and there needs to be consequences. They are our number one trading partner. So to say that we don't have any negotiating power here would not be true. Then the next thing we need to do, we need to cut off the funding to these sanctuary cities. No more public safety grants from federal tax money. These cities, they get hundreds of millions of dollars each.
Are you suggesting, Charles, that we should not be supporting and financing the rebellion against our country?
That's exactly what I'm saying. If you don't want to join the rest of civilized society, you don't get money. So that's what we do. We cut them off. And I'll tell you right now, former President Trump did that very briefly with New York City, and they changed their tune. So it works.
Well, it does, but you've got to have the will, and you have to have the reason, the heart to do it. And right now, there is a great war going on, not just in the United States, but our entire world. It's the battle for a global order, and ultimately, if we see chaos and bedlam continue under this rebellious attitude, the whole world then will be placing itself under a final one-world government that will be ruled by one-world dictator. And guess how free and lovely that's going to be.
Yeah. Sometimes doing the right thing is doing the right thing. And I kind of, in that situation, look at it more instead of the macro level, the micro level. And what I would say is this. I would say that I would be happy to look at a law enforcement officer's significant other who's been shot by an illegal immigrant and say, we're going to cut this city off of funding because they're not protecting the officers.
There you go. I agree. Hey, listen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank
here.
You.
The book, Friends, Terrorists on the Border and in Our Country, the $30 hardbound book, yours for $26. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Ready a check at $5 for postage and handling. Remember, God himself ordained borders. Why don't we like them? Well, something there is in humankind that doesn't love a wall or a border. We want to do it our way. Wonder how well that's going to work out. God knows. And the rest is history. Thanks for joining us. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.